Okay. Have you all been here before? I didn't think so. Where are you from?
California.
You visiting relatives here, or are you moving here? You don't look happy about that. Why? This is great. This is better in California. Where'd you live in California?
Bay Area.
In the Bay Area? San Francisco?
Yeah.
Oh, you'll like this better. This is the Bay Area, but the better Bay. Okay? Better football, better, not as good a baseball team. Okay? Good. Welcome. We're glad to have you here. And we're glad to have you. Have you been here before? No. Where are you from?
Germany.
You might move here. You'll like it just as much as they're going to like it. Okay. Next time you see, you should smile and say, "Oh, I like it here better." Are all your relatives in California? Well, they have airplanes. Okay. And everybody visits us here in Florida. Okay. Never ever get a house with extra bedrooms. You can never get rid of the relatives. Okay? They visit all the time. Welcome, we're glad to have you here. We see that we have the boughs and of trees and the palms. Deacon Nicholas, the other proto-deacon that used to, when I was with the Ruthenians, and the deacon also sent down the pussy willows. It took him, it was quite a project. They're a little dry because, after all, it's a little late up there. It was early for them, late for us. So next year, probably we'll have pussy willows at the right time for both of us, okay? But we're glad that he sent them because, especially in the Slavic tradition, pussy, it isn't the, oh, and the Alaskan tradition, right, Michael? It's really not flowery Sunday without pussy willows, okay? The first branches of trees. You remember, you remember pussy willows, okay?
No?
They didn't have pussy willows. See, they didn't know where to get pussy willows. They got to have connections for pussy willows. He likes that. We got extras, you know, you can take them too when you leave. But if any of you are going to visit the sick or the infirm, please take them with you. Plus, in the back is a basket of small ones that were made by the princesses of the parish, okay, for you to put in your cars. But they were all crying out, "Hosanna!" And Hosanna means "save, we pray." A great and joyous crowd. And we ask ourselves, what happened 5 days later? In Matthew's gospel it says, this is 5 days later. But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitudes that they should ask for Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said to them, "Which of the two do you want me to release to you?" And they said, "Barabbas." Pilate said to them, "What shall I do with Jesus who is called Christ?" And they all said to him, "Let him be crucified." And then the governor said, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they cried out all the more, saying, "Let him be crucified." How did this happen? How could everything change so much in so short a time? You know, could this same crowd that only a few days earlier was shouting to Jesus, "Save, we pray," now be screaming for his crucifixion? How could that happen? I think it tells us in the gospel that a number of them came to see Lazarus, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Sort of like it was a little sideshow. You know, they wanted to be entertained. Okay? See, they knew of Jesus, but they didn't know Jesus. There's a distinction. They knew of Jesus, but they didn't know Jesus. They knew of his miracles, but not who he was. Their expectations were of an earthly king, not a spiritual savior. They really didn't know him. So often we know of something, but we don't know it. My daughter, when she was a little girl, was that way when it came to gerbils. And she knew of gerbils, and she wanted one. And Matryoshka and I wouldn't let her have one. And lo and behold, Matryoshka's brother of happy memory bought her one, complete with some gigantic plastic thing where they run around. And then it needed to be fed, it needed to be watered, it needed to have the paper, shredded papers made, and the shredded papers changed. And now Anne-Marie was starting to know a gerbil. rather than no other gerbil. You see? There's a distinction to know all about something as opposed to just knowing of it. This is our modern version of the earthly king, and it's mankind. Humanism now has become the earthly king. They were expecting an earthly king, right? The Jews. Hosanna in the highest. Oh boy, here he comes. Now we're going to be in charge. Nevermore are we going to be suppressed by these Romans. We'll be the ones in charge. We have that to this day. We have the modern earthly king, humanism. Man's the king. He knows all the answers. And we only know about Jesus. Many times we don't know Jesus. That came to my mind as I was thinking about what to give you as a homily, that the Pope of Rome had visited, and they said, I'm not going to say names, but they pointed out two of the most famous politicians who are Catholic and the most pro-abortion. They said, are you going to go? And they said, oh, sure. And they said, are you going to receive communion? And they said, oh, sure. And then one of them was asked, but how could this be since you're for abortion and your church is against it? And the telling retort from their spokesperson was, well, abortion is really a personal decision, a personal moral choice. That's what they said. There's no such thing as personal morality. That's called sin if it doesn't follow the church morality, which is Jesus' morality. What he taught us and what his father handed down to us, starting with Moses and on to the resurrection of Christ. Our reading yesterday was Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. There's no change because now we know everything. But you see, that's what happens when you know of Jesus, but you don't know Jesus. Then you can come up with those things. When it comes to humans, knowledge of someone is the basis of love of that person. Remember when you were first courting, right? And you would call on the phone. The guy would call on the phone, hopefully. In those days, they did. The guy called. The ladies didn't call. And they would call, and then we would talk, right, for a long time, and you want to know everything about the other person. Right? Because you're in love, or you thought you were. But love necessitated knowing all about the other person. And to love Jesus necessitates us knowing all about Jesus. There was a 1950 song by the Teddy Bears. It was a group. I'm going to ask if you're old enough to remember that. And it's a song that was sung even to today by the likes of Dolly Parton, Emmylou Harris, and Amy Winehouse. And it was, to know him is to love him. And there's a lot of truth in that title. To know him is to love him. Without knowledge, there can be no love. Without knowledge, knowing Jesus, we cannot love him, nor can we know and love the Father. Jesus said this in Matthew's Gospel. All things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. Jesus wills to reveal him to each and every one of us, if we will take that revelation. He's not going to force it on us. We have to love. We have to want to know all about him. We want to have to know him. Love of God is eternal life. Huh? So let's look at that as we look at John's Gospel. And this is what's recorded, Jesus speaking in the 17th chapter. Father, it's Jesus praying the priestly prayer. Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. You have given me authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Okay? That is to know you, the true God. We want to be with him forever. Hopefully that's where we're trying to go. In the time of of Jesus to know somebody was actually to possess them. That's why, and to know their name of someone was to possess that person. Okay? That's where we get Alleluia. Allelu was give praise. Yah, half the name of Yahweh. Yahweh was the name of God. They never spoke the name of God. So they didn't say Alleluia Yahweh. Okay? That would have been, they wouldn't have ever thought of speaking his name. So they used half his name. Alleluia. And that's where we get that. So to know somebody. They also, knowing meant, as Mary said, right? That intimate a relationship when she says to the angel, to Gabriel, how shall this be since I know not man? Meaning I have no relations with man. That intimate is what we're talking about with the knowledge of God. Without loving him, we cannot persevere in the hard and stressful times. We can't. But if we do love him, all will come to good. All will come to good. Listen, this is my favorite passage of everything that Paul ever wrote. And it's in this letter to the Romans. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God. All things work to good for those who love God. You know that I'm a fly fishing aficionado. And I was in Montana one time, and the guide, we met him for the first time, and he was a fine fellow, but he seemed so depressed. And I had asked him, what's the problem? The day before he was to start guiding us, his wife, out of nowhere, told him that she wanted a divorce. And they had a young child, 5-6-year-old boy. So we were fishing, and he took my friend up ahead, and I'm fishing, and it was a small stream, and all the little droplets of water would bounce up off, you know, as the ripples, and they would look like somebody was throwing gems up in the air. And I sat down on this big rock in the middle of the stream, and I'm watching this. And he came back, and he said, what are you doing? I said, I'm watching God. And he looked so sad. I said, pull up a rock and sit down. We have to talk. And I told him this. All things come to good for those who love the Lord. We continue to be guided by him in different years. It's now been about 10 years, and we tried to get him to guide us recently. We couldn't. He's now a college professor. He went back. He got his master's degrees and his adjunct professor. He's remarried and has a couple of kids. All things come to good for those who love the Lord. And he's very active in his church. All things come to good for those who love the Lord. Praise God. But if we love him, all things do come to the good. How then are we going to be lovers of God and be able to persevere in times of trouble? First, as we said, we have to know God. We have to know him. And that requires meeting him in the study of his word. That'll be number one, meeting him in the study of his word. Where do we have an ornate gospel book, you see, right there on the holy table? Because we believe as Orthodox Christians that Christ is truly present in his word. And that's where we can meet him. We have to meet him in prayer. Both private prayer and in the public prayers of the church. Don't worry. Listen, whenever we have little kids, you know, I used to have a bunch of them when I was in Newport Richey, and I always said two things. One, I can talk louder, and number two is, that's our promise from God. There'll be somebody there to pray the parastas over us. Okay? Somebody to pray at our funeral. They're the future of our church. Meet him in prayer. Meet him in the Eucharist. Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you do not have life within you. Meeting him through his mercy and confession. He's waiting. Waiting to forgive us our sins. Waiting for us to hear absolution. Waiting for us to hear, go in peace. Your sins are forgiven. Meeting him through service to others. You heard me tell the stories over and over about where does Jesus live. He lives in a nursing home. You only need to go visit those people in the nursing homes. And they'll be Jesus Christ to you. He says, when you do it, I was sick and you visited me. Go visit him. He's waiting. And in that service to others, you'll meet Jesus Christ. Meeting him through obedience to his commandments. John records this in his gospel in the 15th chapter. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. You see, that's why God have mercy on the politicians I was telling you about. If you don't keep his commandments, you cannot say you're a lover of God. And the worst thing is they say, well, my private life is, you know, my spiritual life is my private life. You say, what? No such thing as that. Not if you're a lover of God. In the loving of our spouses, do we say, well, I love my spouse in my private life. When I'm off on my own, it's a different thing, you know. Of course not. We would think that was absolutely ridiculous. The same way with loving God. We have to keep his commandments. Let us return then to our work of the divine liturgy, right? Which is translated, the work of the people. Calling to mind the admonition of John in his first letter. And he writes this. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore the world does not know us, because it did not know him. My little children, let us not in love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And by this we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory forever.